This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. We're all trying to understand the leadership crisis in Selangor, how it actually arose and whether or not there will be a resolution to all of it. Sharad Kutan spoke to members of the three political parties which make up the Pakatan Rakyat Coalition, and they were Ong Kian Ming, the Serdang MP, Sivarasa Raseya, Subang MP, and Khalid Samad, Shah Alam MP. And this is the conversation that actually took place.
So our discussion today is going to be really pitched at several levels, both the state as well as the national level. First question, I think a lot of Malaysians out there, and especially people in Selangor, are asking, is Pakatan about to break up? And I want to start, with each of you in turn. Maybe, Siva, you could start. Just very quickly, do you think the Pakatan Rakyat as an ideal coalition to challenge the Barisan Nasional has taken it as far as it can? The contradictions have come home to roost and it's about to call it quits.
Personally, I don't think so. I think, of course, the 10th August, next Sunday's past Central Committee meeting is going to be quite central to the issue. And I think if you frame the issue as my colleague Khalid Samad has done, I think in a statement, and with which I concur, if you frame the issue this way, past leaders on Sunday will decide whether they want Tan Sri Khalid Ibrahim as the Menteri Besar Selangor, or do they want Pakatan Rakyat? And I think when you frame the question that way, I think a large majority of those past leaders will pick the Pakatan Rakyat. So my sense of it is, based on our common experience in building this coalition from 2008 to now, I think sense will prevail and Pakatan Rakyat will prevail.
Kian Ming, what's your sense of this problem?
My quick answer would be, I hope not, given the fact that we still agree on 90% of all the major issues. Including trying to break a new ground in terms of a non-race base of way of approaching politics. But at this point in time, I think we cannot discount the possibility that there could be ructions that would lead to the breakup of Pakatan, given the different viewpoints that we have on certain issues. But I hope it doesn't come to that.
Khalid, for some weeks now, months actually, we've been looking at this problem of the crisis around the Menteri Besar Selangor as a crisis within PKR, a party that had to choose. This is the party that was, through a gentleman's agreement, the party that was going to lead the state, even though they're the smallest of the three in the coalition here in terms of seats. But now it's turned to your party. Your party, as you frame it, and as Siva has just formulated it for us, is going to make that decision. Do you think the Pakatan Rakyat is going to survive? 10th of August, how do you think the leadership of your party is going to vote?
Well, there's a gag order on this, so, I can't answer that question. And furthermore, I didn't bring my crystal ball, so difficult to predict. But I would agree with both Sivarasa and Ong Kian Ming that as far as the question of Pakatan Rakyat itself is concerned, we have had four muktamas since its formation. And in each of the muktamas, which is the general annual assembly for the party at a national level, the resolution that's been passed is to strengthen Pakatan Rakyat. Yeah. So even the statements that came out from Tok Guru Nia Aziz and also Tuan Guru Haji Abdul Hadi Awang, the Murshidul Am and also the President, even though differing on the issue of Tan Sri Abdul Khalid Ibrahim with our colleagues in Pakatan Rakyat, but it ended up with an emphasis on strengthening Pakatan Rakyat. So I believe that there is not a strong desire, or there is no real desire for PAS to leave Pakatan Rakyat. Yeah. So I hope pivotal principle will prevail, even if in the final analysis we may say that, we still believe that Tan Sri Khalid is the best option. If that may be the final decision on the 10th of August, then it would be the responsibility of the past leaders to go to the presidential council, present their views, but in the end, to come up with a consensus.
Is the problem really just this one issue? Is it really about who is going to take that seat as Mantri Basa in the state? Or are we looking at actually long-term problems? When Pakatan first started many years ago, it started out as an electoral pact and then it became a coalition. So it wasn't Pakatan until after the 2008 general elections and the results were out. We saw people were saying, well, this was a coalition full of contradictions. There were secularists with Islamists. There were people with, you know, PKR as a party is, you know, cobbled together from many different types of tendencies in Malaysian politics. How was this thing going to hold together? Is that what is really at stake? Or is it just this one question of who is going to be the Menteri Besar? Is it that important? Siva Amin.
That's a good question, Sharad. But let's go back to your point about coalitions. I think one needs to understand, looking at coalitions all over the world, you know, in different countries, coalitions are normally, and this is normal, are from parties which have different ideologies. That's normal. But what coalitions do, and this is critical for their continuance and their survival, is they sit down and they hammer out common pacts, common programs, common policies. And this is what Pakatan has done. We don't deny we have divergent ideologies, and that's normal. But what we've successfully done, hammered out a common policy platform, and which we have developed and I think fine-tuned along the way. But of course, you know, it's not as if it's a cast in stone. So from time to time, you get a revisiting of certain problematic issues, and you see that with the Hudud issue, for example. But I am confident we'll deal with it because the basic framework, the policy framework has been set.
Now, okay, we'll come back to the common policy platform and that. But, you know, differences are one thing, contradictory interests are another. And the question is between, and this is, of course, the recent, this refers to the recent moves by the state of Kelantan and their cooperation with the federal government and Barisan Nasional UMNO over implementing Hudud in Kelantan, right? So is that a contradiction just too big to overcome through sheer grit and a reference to something like a common policy platform? Kian Ming, your party has been consistently against the implementation of Hudud. We see recent dissent coming from DAP Sarawak.
Yes.
You know, are we looking at some deep contradictions that cannot be overcome?
I think on the issue of Hudud, we've always had a position that we would agree to disagree with our colleagues from PAS. We respect their right to raise the issues about Hudud, and then at the same time, we hold strong to the common policy framework that Hudud was not something that was agreed on by all three parties. It is an issue that I think will continue to be a challenge for Pakatan Rakyat, but I think it is also the challenge for the leaders to emphasize on the many things that we do agree on. And I just want to remind our listeners that we have presented three alternative budgets already since the creation of Pakatan Rakyat. We have presented Buku Jingga, we have presented a common manifesto just prior to the 13th general election. So actually there are a lot more areas that we agree on than compared to the ones that we don't agree on. It's just that the ones that we don't agree on are hot button issues that get a lot of airplay.
Now it's okay, so you could blame the media to some extent, right, on kind of noticing these differences, but these differences are articulated by top leadership. So the question is, is the leadership of Pakatan itself not keeping on message in terms of emphasizing commonalities against those differences? And when you have, as Khalid, your party done, at least in the state of Kelantan, gone on not only to kind of suggest that Hudud is something to aspire to, but actually work with the federal government, which is the coalition that you're in opposition to on implementing Hudud, doesn't that just send, on one level, just mixed signals to the ground as to what Pakatan actually stands for and what it will deliver? I mean, how do you make sense of all these things, Khalid?
Yeah, okay. I think what we have to acknowledge is the issue of the Hudud enactment was passed in 1993, right? So it's been there, it's something that we cannot throw into the dustbin. So it's been 20 years. And all this while, publicly specifically in Kelantan, we've been telling the Kelantanese that, okay, we've passed this enactment, but we cannot implement it because of UMNO. Then suddenly, 20 years down the road, UMNO turns around and says that, okay, we are ready for its implementation. So what do you want PAS to do? You know, we can't then turn around and say that, oh, no, you know, we're not really interested. It was just a political ploy or something like that, which obviously it was not. So in that kind of situation, there was no real alternative for PAS, but to say, okay, if you're serious, you want to see it implemented and you have to help us to implement it, then we work on this specific program with respect to its implementation, and we sit down and we discuss it. So I think everyone has to acknowledge that Kelantan is nothing like Sarawak. So I think in the end, DAP in Sarawak also came up with a stand saying that, okay, this is specific for Kelantan, it's got nothing to do with Sarawak. So we managed to resolve that difference of opinion with respect to the implementation of Hudud in Kelantan. We acknowledge that it's not relevant for all the other states, and that this is the problem when you've got the national government and state governments being run by obviously different parties. Every state government in the final analysis will have to work with the federal government on some of the projects which are agreed to, right?
Mm. That's inevitable. I also like to raise a point because you brought up the contradictions within Pakatan, but a lot of people actually forget the fact that that would also be a contradiction within Barisan Nasional.
Yeah, absolutely, well. And we see the MCA's campaign against this. So it does create kind of difficulties, but we don't have anybody from Barisan here to actually talk to them about it. But I do want to ask, Siva, do you think that Putrajaya, or the lack of, the inability to capture Putrajaya in 2013 is a source of some of the problems today?
It's possible, but I don't think so. I think the source of it wasn't this loss of not getting Putrajaya. There was this initiative which past leaders responded to, and now we're working through the implications of that response. But the difficulty we have is that the response as past has made it now does amount to a contradiction, or I would consider even a violation of the common policy platform. So that is what we're grappling with. In other words, whilst we respect the aspirations of past to, to seek Hudud in the final analysis, but it is not within the agreed common policy platform. And that's what we have to deal with. So, and I think this is what we're working through. So regardless of whether, even if you talk about applying it strictly in Kelantan or Terengganu or whatever, it still is not part of the platform.
Okay.
And I think these are the things we'll have to deal with. And, these quite hard decisions will have to be made by everybody.
Up next, we continue to explore whether or not the failure of Pakatan Rakyat is a source of some of the problems today. That's coming up on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. If you just joined us, welcome. It is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. Sharad Kutan caught up with Members of Parliament Ong Kian Ming of Serdang, Sivarasa Raseya Subang MP and Khalid Samad Shah Alam MP. We all are aware of the leadership tussle going on in Selangor, but we explore what binds the parties of the Pakatan Rakyat as a coalition.
Now, Bridget Welsh in 2010, she's an American academic, political scientist, said that against the idea that, Pakatan is held together by power or their common desire for power. She said there's in fact a moral compact that keeps the three parties together. It's a very interesting, suddenly romanticized view of the Pakatan coalition. But is that true? Is Pakatan, like any other political coalition, really held together by power? And that the failure to grab power in 2013 at the federal level is really ungluing the Pakatan? Kian Ming.
I think we can't deny the fact that Pakatan came together because we had to share power in 2008, in places like Selangor, Perak, Penang. And we continue to be, even without capturing Putrajaya, we continue to be bonded by the coalition that governs Penang, that governs Selangor as well. So we cannot deny that. But at the same time, I think probably my colleague Khalid would be able to share more on this. Many Pakatan leaders have been put in jail together before. So they actually share that kind of a common experience. So it's more than a moral compact, but it's a desire to want to change some of the injustice within the system that they themselves have experienced.
Khaled, how do you think the failure to capture Putrajaya in 2013 impacts the thinking behind many of your leaders?
Is it because we lost Putrajaya, therefore now PAS is desperately trying to get itself into a position of power by working together with UMNO? Then I would say no. Dr. Zudis' print screen or screenshot that was shown, what was not explained by Dr. Zudi is that everyone in that WhatsApp group rejected that scenario, right? So he was too busy defending himself and washing his hands clean. He forgot to highlight that his suggestion was thrown into the dustbin, right?
And I think to be fair to PAS, the sentiment or the inclinations to have this working relationship with UMNO is really, and I think very clearly now, demonstrated as a minority. I think the majority of PAS central leadership are clear about their position and where their future of their party lies, that is in a coalition in Pakhan Raya.
In the state of Selangor, we turn now to PKR and talk about the problem within PKR. Is PKR the weak link in the Pakatan Raya? Is it a party because of its origins in so many different groups, just not been able to hold it together? And is there other disputes within it about egos, about individuals or vested interests? What's going on in PKR that's led to this crisis?
I disagree with that description of PKR as the weak link. I mean, of course, coming as a PKR person, that might not sound too objective, but let me defend it. I think any objective political analyst looking at what's happened in this country since 1999 till now, especially post-2008, I think will conclude that PKR is the glue that keeps Pakatan Raya together. Take PKR out of the Pakatan equation, and I think, you can see what I mean. The emergence of Pakatan and, I must say, the openness of PAS and DAP to sit down and hammer out a common working program and a policy, all this is what has brought us together. But PKR, far from being the weak link, is that glue. So I think that's what we have. There will be constantly, of course, forces that try to pull that apart, as in any coalition. But we'll work that through. And that's what we're doing now.
The two major questions I want to ask you. I want you to cooperate with me in a thought experiment. Pakatan fails. What kind of scenarios are we looking at if you cannot get over this challenge and the Pakatan fails? Is it possible that Pakatan exists on a state level but no longer the national level, it exists at the national level but falls apart in particular states where different configurations come together? What is the likely scenario in a failure to keep Pakatan together kind of game? Tian Ming.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go into the kind of speculative mode. And I think having worked so hard to build this coalition together, it would be quite, I think, heartless to try to envision scenarios whereby we have to work apart from each other.
But don't you think it's realistic that you have to be pragmatic? If the Pakatan doesn't hold together as a coalition, there must be plan B. And what would that plan B be?
I think we need to cross the bridge when we get to it. It's just like how people keep asking Pakatan, what happens after Anwar? And then my standard reply is, maybe we'll cross the bridge when we come to it. Right now, all efforts should be focused on trying to preserve Pakatan rather than to envision a scenario whereby Pakatan does not exist in its current form.
Okay, I'm guessing the Siva and Khaled, you're going to have the same answer for me.
I have slightly different.
Oh.
If we break up, then we all have electoral packs and contest the elections, and after winning the seats, we'll come back together. Yeah. Because there's no other choice.
And this happens in many countries.
Then you have electoral pacts. Then we'll find ourselves in the same position one more time. Hopefully, having gone through a marriage and a breakup, we become more wise. And this time we will have a second remarriage and we'll hold on together even better. So it's slightly different, but same conclusion.
Okay. Now, you know, this kind of thinking, I think, it requires a level of political literacy or sophistication that perhaps is not shared in the wider public, right? We look at the UMCDEL survey, approval ratings for the state Selangor is at an all-time low of 35%. You know, coming after an extraordinary win where you got more than two-thirds of the seats in the assembly. Mm. And most of the people who were supporters are now undecided. Mm. Clearly, the ground is reading this crisis differently from the three of you MPs, you know, who have a comparative political perspective and, you know, a certain sophistication and understanding about what coalition politics is. Can you persuade the Malaysian voter that, you know, these scenarios like electoral pacts that come back and form and, you know, get unstuck at particular points, is this all going to wash with your public? Don't they expect a certain... Because of the rhetoric of Pakatan, there's been a moral high ground that Pakatan has occupied for a long time. Do you think this has been so damaging to that cachet that the Pakatan has? Maybe I'll start with you, Siva.
No, Ashurad, what we have, I think, my sense of what three of us have articulated here is really what I think the majority of the voting public want, which is they want to see a strong united coalition, not just in form but in substance as well, which is what we have now. Substance being the common policy framework, the platform.
So why are approval ratings so low?
No, but I'll deal with that. So I think, of course, an electoral pact scenario is something that's like a worst case scenario for us. What the public want is a united coalition. And I think that drop which we're seeing, which is there, is because of this, the current perception of division, you know, opposing views, conflicts, contradictions, and so on, which is understandable.
Yeah, the perception is based on a reality, right?
It's not based on that. So that is what we have to deal with now. And I'm confident that when we have dealt with it, the confidence levels will and the support levels will go back to what they are. So that's the challenge that is facing the Pakatan leadership right now.
Yeah, just to add a little bit on to that, I think we cannot separate the fact that the low approval ratings have to do with the current disunity within Pakatan on the issue of Tan Sri Khalid. But at the same time, we cannot ignore the fact that there have been a lot of pressing local and state issues, things like water, things like KIDEX, the highways, things like the Bible issue, things like problems with rubbish collection and whatnot, that are linked with the performance of the state government. And that's why one of the reasons why I think there has been some consensus within at least PKR and DAP to want to have a change in leadership. I think we have to emphasize those things in terms of looking at a future in the next couple of years in Selangor, whereby state policies can improve on the specific things that people are not happy about.
Khalid, do you think that Pakatan's political capital is so great that it can, in fact, afford this kind of damaging and very public infighting that seems to be, you know, contradictory statements and such? Do you think it's simply a question of getting over this hump and then, you know, zooming off and, you know, regaining that political capital or those approval ratings? Do you think that irrevocable damage has been done to the Pakatan as a result of this year of what seems like paralysis?
Yeah, I think obviously if it carries on, it's not going to be good. Right. Maybe it carries on.
That might be the understatement.
And obviously, that's why we want to solve it quickly. So I think the fact that we acknowledge that it is a problem and that we need to take action in order to handle the situation is something which is, it's a credit to us. I mean, we're not sitting down and just ignoring the complaints that's coming in from everywhere. You know, we're trying to sit down and discuss the differences. As I said, in the final analysis, and this is what Tok Guru Nia Aziz has instructed, instructed the president, is to solve the problem, sit down, discuss, solve the problem, and make sure that Pakatan Rakyat is further strengthened. That's the instruction from that long statement that was given, where he said that I don't know why you want to change the Menteri Besar. Then that Ustaz Hadi, he is the president of the party. Everybody should follow what he says. Then the instruction says, solve the problem immediately. Sit down and discuss and ensure that Pakatan Rakyat is further strengthened. So I think if we overcome this single issue, which is not a fundamental, a policy issue. We're not disagreeing on policy matters. We're just disagreeing on this one individual who doesn't want to step down when he's instructed to step down by his own party. Then we overcome this problem. We get our act together, and we should be able to prove ourselves worthy of leading the state of Selangor again.
Well, I hope people buy that, because that would be the only reason that Pakatan remains in power at the next general elections and the next state elections. But thank you so much, gentlemen, for sharing your thoughts. I guess, looking at the three of you, clearly consensus is a great potential within the Pakatan, but because as you expand numbers and you have difference of opinion, that gets more and more tricky. Or after all, we are only human beings. Thank you so much for joining me. You were listening to Ong Kian Ming, Serdang MP from the DAP, R. Sivarasa, Subang MP from PKR, and of course Khalid Samad, Shahalam MP from PAS. I'm Sharad Kutan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.